Okay, we left off last week. We were talking about the issue of Tzaveh Ba'ochlin. So we say, even though it's Machlekes HaRishonim, whether the Malach of Tzaveh applies to Ochlin, we probably paskin the Mikra Din, it's okay. We mentioned as the Mishnah Berurah that throws a little bit of a monkey wrench at us, but the Pashup Shad in the Halach is that ain't Tzaveh Ba'ochlin. So we mentioned at the very end of the Shir that there were those who wanted to invoke this Kula of ain't Tzaveh Ba'ochlin to be mad at the case of the toilet bowls, when you have these, you flush, and the blue stuff comes shooting out, and it colors the water. So maybe we can make believe that the water is ochlin. You can theoretically drink the water if you so desire, and therefore maybe we can invoke the kula vein sevev ochlin. So perhaps one could argue on this based on the following, well, even though it sounds very bizarre, the whole concept, but maybe one could argue based on the following, based on a Rashba. So it's not a real Rashba, it's a fake Rashba. There's a Perusha Rashba on Maseches Menachos that for many years people thought was from the authentically from the Rashba, and then they realized afterwards it was from another Rishon, another great Rishon, but it wasn't necessarily the Rashba. So when you learn Maseches Menachos, so they have the the leaflet of all the Mefarshim of Menachos, so the Chedusha Rashba printed in this, so you should just know you heard it here, it's not the real Rashba, whatever, it's fine. So in the pseudo Rashba, that some Rishon wrote, he raises the following question. There's a Gemara in Maseches Menachos that comments on the pasuk about Kol Kabaruch Melach Timlach. So Timlach comes to teach me Afilu B'Shabbos that the din of Malichas of Kabanos is noig even on Shabbos. Now most Kabanos aren't even offered on Shabbos, but Korban Tzibos are, and even Korban Tzibos Shekavu Lozman, the Korban Tamid, the Korban Musaf. Not only is the Shechita and the Avedis Adam done on Shabbos, but even the Haktaras Emurim is also done on Shabbos, which is taka really a bit chiddush, because the Haktaras Emurim can really be done on Shabbos. The Zrikas Adam have no choice. The Torah says to be a Korban Tamid, be a Korban Musaf. So if I'm going to shecht it now and hold off until later for the Zrikas, that's ridiculous. The whole Korban is not going to be acceptable. But the Haktaras Emurim, the mitzvah of Haktaras Emurim can be done at night also. It's Niktar, but Niktar Miyom Alayla. So why am I running to go do the Haktaras Emurim? It's a Malacha Deraisa. Why am I running to burn the fats and the Evarim on Shabbos? So that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, because of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Because the Torah wants us to do the mitzvahs at the right time. The Torah doesn't want us to raise a harum and do the Haktaras Emurim 10 hours later. The right time is to do it is right now. And therefore, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is also Nichol in the Sugya of Korban Tamid being Decha Shabbos. So when you learn the Sugyas of mitzvahs being Decha Shabbos, so that's a loaded statement. Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, that sounds in that Gemara, that not only is the mitzvah Gufa Decha Shabbos, but even the hastening of the mitzvah is also Decha Shabbos. So we learn beginning from Belez the Mila, the Sugya of Mila B'Shabbos, that becomes a very, very loaded topic. But again, not for now. But the bottom line is that Haktaras Emurim is going to be Decha Shabbos. So the Gemara is a Chiddush in the second Merachas and the second Derek, that even the Malichas HaKorban is also Decha Shabbos. Timlach Mefilu B'Shabbos. So in the Pseudo Rashba, he asked the question, he said, what do I need a Timlach Mefilu B'Shabbos for? What grandiose Malacha was I in violation of? If the Gemara needs a pasuk, there is a kasuk to tell me you're allowed to blichas hakavanas on Shabbos, I say there was some kind of an iser, there was some kind of malach on the level of their isa. So which in the lametas malachas? Chayr is a rare question about which malach was involved in salting meat. So comes the Rashba and says the only malach we can think of is malachas ma'abed. The Gemara talks about in Maseches Shabbos about if you salt a piece of food. So that could be part of the Malacha Ma'abin. Ma'abin means when you salt the animal skins and turn them into parchment. So that's the Ibn Iris. So part of the process of Ibn Iris is to soak it into a solution of salt. So the Gemara opens the possibility of salting food a significant amount. The Gemara, if you throw a little bit of salt on your cucumber, so that's not Malacha Deraisa. I didn't say it's mutter, but that's not Malacha Deraisa. But if you salt it up like really, really heavy duty, so the Gemara says maybe that would be Malacha Deraisa. So the Rashba says no, but the Gemara backs out from that. The Gemara says that ain ma'avid ba'ichlin. The Gemara has a machlek some rhyme, and we pass the halacha. There's no ibid ba'ichlin. So comes the Rashba and says, so here I have a piece of meat, and I'm putting the salt on the piece of meat, on the chaylev, on the garment, whatever it is. I'm salting. So what malach deraisa is it? It's not going to be malach as ma'abed. According to the day, we don't paskel like. We don't hold that way. We hold that there's ain ibid ba'ichlin min haTorah. So hadukush l'duchta. So the Rashba says no. That the meat of a korban is not considered to be eichlin. Why is the meat of a korban not considered to be eichlin? Because no one's going to eat it. Why is no one going to eat it? Because the Torah says you can't eat. The Torah says it's korban, davi, mizbech. So what do you see from the Rashba? Gevaldik, you say, the Rashba says that when you want to be Magdia, whether something is called Eichlin or not called Eichlin, it doesn't depend on, is it theoretically Roy Lachiva? It depends on Tachlis. Is it going to make it to your plate or not? Is it going to be on the plate for dinner? So the Chaylev and the Evarim are not making it to your dinner plate because they're not allowed to make it to your dinner plate. Or Vinyasa Derayis and eat it. So that's not called Ibib Eichlin. So the water in the bathroom is also not, it's not making it to your water bottle. I mean, hopefully not. No one's going to drink it. I, in theory, I'm a sugar, very thirsty, could drink the water from the toilet. Come on. Since the feed derech b'nei adam, nobody does that. So up din, you can't hide behind the calling that oichlin. So the Rashba said, you can't hide behind that calling it oichlin, legabi mabin. And the Rashba said, asfar deraisa. And that's why the Torah needs a pasuk to tell me, yoladum lichasak rabbanon. So if the Rashba said it, gam abed, the whole sugi to say, im tzeveh oichlin, is built off of im mabin oichlin. Rishonim brought a raya, just as there's no ma'abed, so there's no tzeveh. So it's hard to go more than the Rashba, unless you say we don't follow the Kesian to the Rashba. So the other Rishon, the Rashba gives other Tirutzim, others give other Tirutzim, what do you need a Pasuk for? Some say you don't need a Pasuk to be Matir, the Malicha itself, you need a Pasuk to be Matir, the carrying of the salt out of the Erev, up to a whole other Samach, Shire Malicha. You can, when you learn Menachas, you got to figure out what the answer to that Kash is. But at least the one answer that officially appears in this Rishon, called the quote unquote Chedisha Rashba, would, Lefini is Night, negate the Kula of the bathroom. I'm not saying the bathroom's awesome. I'm just saying that Yesh Ladun, whether this reason would be a sufficiently good reason. Anyway, back to our story in terms of Malachis Tzeveya. So even though many of the B'Shema make that there's Ein Tzeveya B'Eichlin, Sefer Yireyim, who was one of the sources why Ein Tzeveya B'Eichlin, turns around with the following Chumrah, the Sefer Yireyim, the Rebbe Lozbi Mitzatam, Rebbe Natam says, that let's say a person's hands are very dirty, he's just eating cherries, he's got red all over his hands, eating strawberries, he's got red, pinkish all over his hands, and now he wants to take a napkin and clean his hands off. So the Rebbe Lozbi admits, I don't think envision the concept of a napkin. I think that notion of a nice little cute piece of cloth sitting next to you with forks and knives and spoons, that was instituted in England in the 1700s when they decided to have manners, etiquette, That was Emily Poster's Chiddush to the world. But you guys don't know what I'm talking about. When I was a kid, Emily Post was the one, she wrote the book about etiquette. She's the one who make up all the rules. Well, you have to do this, and you can't do this, and you have to have your spoon over here, and your fork over here, and everything, how you bow, how you curtsy, how you write letters, how you knock on doors. She was the place of Gachor and all these things. So Rebbe Lozbi admits, couldn't envision that. He's the old Hamish away. There was a tablecloth. So when your hands were dirty, so you took the end of the mopper and you dried your hands on to wipe your hands off. So Rebbe Lozbi says, wait a second, you're drying your hands on you're cleaning off your hands on the tablecloth. In doing so, you are dyeing the tablecloth. You are coloring the tablecloth. All right, it's a great shalom, whatever you want to call it, but still, it's still also. So you shouldn't dry your hands, you shouldn't wipe off your hands when they're greasy and brown with gravy and juicy for the berries, etc. You shouldn't dry them off on the napkin or the tablecloth because of chashash or tzeveya. So the Daki Moshe quotes from the Sefer Ogur, one of the late Rishonim, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it says the same idea in the Chumash Sefer Vaz, a little bit later than this, that saying, nah, come on, that's not Malachas Tzeveya. You know what's not Malachas Tzeveya? So the invoker Rebbe Natam from 2 weeks ago, Rebbe Natam said that when you dry your hands on the towel, that's not Malachas Malabe. Why not? Because that's Derech Lichluch. So what does that mean, Derech Lichluch? So we gave this Hagdara that there are certain Malachas that it's one thing to do a malacha, not having the right kavana as I had in the Mishkan. But then there are other times that not only am I not doing with the right kavana, my accomplishment is the direct antithesis of what the goal of the Mishkan was. So from a pure technical point of view, I violated the pratim of the Maisa Malacha. But the goal of the malacha was so undermined that my sachakol, my end game is actually not only not what the Mishkan wanted, it's the opposite of what the Mishkan was trying to accomplish. So that was Rebbe Natan's svara by Malabin. The goal of whitening wool for the Mishkan was to get, you started off with dirty wool, and now you want to end with clean wool. That's the goal. So if you have a towel, and it started off being clean, fresh, right out of the washing machine, and now you dry your filthy, dirty hands on it, so yes, it's true, you put water on a towel. And that was a no-no. Because you, at the end of the day, you ended up with a dirtier towel than a cleaner towel. That's not Malachas of Malabin B'chol. So the Sefer Ogur and the Radvaz invoked that idea and plug it into Malachas Tzeveya as well. What's with Malachas Tzeveya? of today is, I had this wool, and it was clean wool, but it was very unimpressive looking wool. It's just a little white wool over here. I'm going to make it red, I'm going to make it blue, I'm going to make it purple, I'm going to put dyes in it, I'm going to put beautiful, tzeveya. So the very malach of tzeveya is presupposing that I'm trying to beautify the item that I have. It used to be just a plain, simple white, and now it's going to be purple wool. That's going to be tchelis. Now it's going to be really, really look fancy, schmancy. So says the Agur, says the Radvaz, when you take a tablecloth that was a beautiful Shabbos, like a white tablecloth, and now you put gravy on it, and now you put your filthy berry juice on it. So yes, it's true, you turned white into red, but look at what you have. You have a filthy tablecloth. So ein lecha derech lichul gadol mizeh. So again, the whole svar of derech lichul was the chiddush rabbeinu tam. Other rishonim, the sefer reim, they didn't hold from it. I'm the sefer reim, the shitasa. Because remember, the sefer reim said there's no way to explain all those gemaras that said you're allowed to walk on the water. Sefer reim said, hocham ha'iskin, the guy's wearing a leather from head to toe. Because the sefer reim didn't buy into his own rebbe's kulah. Rabbeinu tam is the one who came up with the kulah of derech lichul, and Rabbi Lazmimitz didn't buy into it. So Rabbi Lazmimitz doesn't buy into it by the application of as well. So the Agur and the Radbaz are a chiddush agabi chiddush. They're accepting Rabbeinu Tam, and then they're taking Rabbeinu Tam out of the realm of Libun and sticking it into Malachim Tzevei as well. So how do we pass the halacha on this? And it's hard to say. Baruch Hashem, for us, it's usually not so negeya, because most of us don't have such fancy, napkins and tablecloths. So usually what we have are paper napkins. So many of the Buzkim say that even according to the Machmirim, by paper is Yesh Malachim Halacha. One, paper is mamash a joke. A guy wipes his greasy, gravy, berry thicker hands on a piece of paper. He takes the napkin. He mamash throws it into the garbage a split second later. So one can argue that's like eino shakayama klal klal or eino derech tzviya klal klal. It's not a normal thing. People don't color the paper. That's like almost like one step less than what Sefer Reim was writing about. Not everyone agrees to this far, but some Achmarim have this coolness. I think that most people are pretty makeable about this. When we dry our hands on paper towels, on napkins today, most of us don't think, 100 times how dirty our hands are. In our house, who has fancy, I don't want to say anything bad about our Sobolowski household, but I don't recall the last time I don't think we own fancy napkins. And if I would ever try to dry my hands on the tablecloth, I would be in more trouble than from the safety room. So the only time this ever comes up, you go to a simcha. So I remember once, a few months ago, I was sitting at a simcha, and there was these fancy schmancy napkins. I was so excited because my hands were good and dirty, and I had a chance to fulfill this sheet to save your rate, not to dry my hands on it. Well, I don't know, no one else seemed to be as excited as I was. They seemed to be very happy following the Agur and the Rabbi. So, okay, whatever. Anyway, okay, so I think we can see what the Malachot Tzevei. Let's see if we can move on to the next Malachot. So the next malacha is part of the making of begadim, etc., making the areas and the begadim, is malacha of kosher. So kosher is a whole parak in Shabbos about it. And it's only 2 blot long, but it got a whole parak for itself. Not too many malachas got a whole parak named after them. Baina got a few prakham here and there, got malachas named. A few malachas got prakham named after them. Yes, it's just a Shabbos, I guess. But Eluk Sharim is a whole parak, all 2 blot long, all about the malacha of kosher. Of course, the kosher is one of the lamites malachas. So it is very, very clear from learning the first couple of lines in the sugyas of Eluk Sharim that not every knot. Sounds like a number now. Not every knot is automatically going to be malacha deraisa. So we have gradations in the malacha of kesher. Sometimes the kesher is a kesher on the level of deraisa. Sometimes the kesher is a kesher on the level of derabanan. And some ksharim are mutar lechatchila. So how would you know which is which? So the Gemara never tells us what the klolim are. The Gemara just gives us a few examples. So the problem is that we're not so familiar with the knot making procedures in Babylonia in the third century. That's what the Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to Perashat Mishnayos. He writes that one of the reasons why the Gemara is so hard, it's hard to read. So the Rambam writes is because the words that are used sometimes in the Gemara, we're not even familiar with. He says it's Aramaic from 500 years ago. He says even in Babel today, the Rambam lived already in Egypt. And even the people who are still left in Babylonia today, they speak a different dialect of Aramaic. Like the Havlos, they could try to read, if we would try to read Chaucer, so it's English, but it could be Chinese for us. It's a different language. So the Rambam writes that one of the great difficulties is that there's sometimes the Gemara we use terms we're not even familiar with exactly what the terms are. So here it's even harder for us because the Gemara gives examples of different knots. We don't even know what these knots are. We're not Boy Scouts. We're not sailors. We're not camel drivers. We don't even know what in the world these knots look like. So you got to really, really work hard to try to figure out what the examples are. The problem is the Gemara doesn't tell the klal. The Gemara just gives us the examples, assuming that you'll figure out from the examples what the klal is. So because of this, you had a major, major dispute in the Rishonim, major, major machlokes in Rishonim. What is the klal? If all the camel drivers and the sailors go to sleep, tachas, at the end of the day, what's the klal? How would you know whether you have a not deraisa, not derabanan, or not at all? So there's a major machlokes in Rishonim. One thing is very, very clear, that the notion of kayama has something to do with this topic. The permanence of the knot is definitely important because the Gemara does use that phrase. In other places in Shas, other places in Sefer Shabbos, the Gemara speaks about the notion of a kesher shel kayama versus a kesher shel shel kayama. So clearly, permanence and temporary of knot is important. So the machleik, there's a major machleik, is Rashi against the Rif of the Rambam. Is that the only factor? That's the only thing that matters. That's how Rashi presents us. Rashi says that if it's very, very, very permanent, that is deraisa. If it's very, very, very temporary, that it's mutter. And if it's somewhere in the middle, that it's also midrabanan. Of course, that's not so helpful because we still haven't quantified how permanent is permanent, how temporary is temporary. So that's a loaded question. We'll hopefully talk about that a little bit later on as the sugya unravels. But the Rambam says a very different picture. The Rif and the Rambam say that there are two factors involved. That permanence is important, but it's not the only factor. There's also the notion of what kind of a knot is it? Namely, is it a ma'aseh uman versus a ma'aseh hedyo? Is it a more of a professional kind of knot? It's a knot that we associate with camel drivers. Most people aren't camel drivers. Most people are not sailors. Most people don't know how to make these kinds of knots. Or is it a kind of a, Tom, Dick, and Harry can make, any guy under the sun can make this kind of a knot. So the Rif and the Rambam hold that if it's both kayama, whatever that means, and it's ma'aseh uman, whatever that means, that is deraisa. If it's neither kayama nor ma'aseh uman, that is mutter. And if you have one of the things against you, either one, then it's going to be derabanan. It's like the same model, like the chatzitza, the Gemara says. In order to be a chatzitza deraisa, it has to be ruba machbid. If you have one of those factors, it's chatzitza derabanan. If you have neither of those factors, that's really too far removed from deraisas, then it becomes mutlach hadchilus. So that's like a model you have in gezeiras derabanan, that whenever the deraisa, the kedin, requires multiple factors, if some of those factors are missing, that may still be reason to make it derabanan. If all the factors are missing, then there's no reason for us to stop making a yisum derabanan. We don't like to make a yisum derabanan yesh me'ayin for no reason whatsoever. Yisum derabanan have to make sense. If not, then we're running the risk of making sha'az about toys. If you start to make yisum derabanan that don't really make any sense, that are unnecessary, so that's already too much in halacha. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the details of what kayama means, what ena kayama means, what ma'isumim, what hedja means. But I just want to focus on one term for a moment. That's the term of kayama, because that's clearly important. According to Rashi, that is the only term that matters. According to the Rif and the Rambam, that's one of the important terms. That is clearly a din deraisa, that in order to be a kesher deraisa, it's got to be kayama. Again, whether kayama means for 20 years, for 10 years, for 5 years, for 1 month, I don't know yet, but kayama is definitely important. So the Bihalocha quotes a basic question from the Prima Gadim, something that really permeates other Malachas as well. How exactly do you define Kiyama? Who defines Kiyama? What if I have a type of a knot that, mitam the knot itself, I guess you could say from the cheps of the knot, it's a type of a knot that's usually associated with being Shel Kiyama. It's a camel driver's knot. It's a sailor knot. So most sailors, they go on long, long trips. So when Columbus is tying the knots that needed a pin to the Santa Maria, so these are knots that usually associate with a long, 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 long trip. What if, however, I decide that I personally am not going to tie this knot for very long? I got a great kach. I want to tie this knot on Shabbos. You know what I'm going to do? So now before Shabbos is over, so I'll say, you know what? I'm going to tie the knot and I'll untie it. And now from now. So mitzidi, it's not really Shel Kiyama. I plan on taking it apart in an hour. But mitzad the chetz of the knot, let me tell the gavim, mitzad the chetz of the knot, it is a kesher Shel Kiyama. But you are not being kashrut as a kesher Shel Kiyama. So the Be'alach quotes to the people, what's the din? Do we follow the standards of the olam? Do we follow the standards of the person? That is, it's interesting, I gave the example before, the parallel in the chatzitzas. So the Beis Yosef in Ochas Chatzitzas also quotes the same shadow from Rishonim, where the Gemara speaks about makbid. Is makbid defined by your makbid, defined by the olam's makbid? So this is an idea that appears in other areas of Allah as well. So the Prima Gadim has a fascinating raya to be patient to Shaila. So Prima Gadim brings a raya from a Gemara in the 19th Berachah Masechah Shabbos that is bechlam not even talking about, it's not talking about details of kosher. The Gemara is talking about the possibility of maybe, in the wildest sense, tying up your tzitzis on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is talking about. So the Gemara says that's out of the question. There's no way in the world you can make up your tzitzis on Shabbos, and doing so would be malacha deraisa. Why is the Gemara even talking about this? The Gemara is addressing Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Rabbi Eliezer is the beginning of Rabbi Elazar the Miller. Rabbi Elazar has a unique shita in all of mitzvahs on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar says Mila is deicha Shabbos, that even we accept. But Rabbi Elazar goes one step further. He says not only is Mila itself deicha Shabbos, all preparations for the meal, the machshir and Mila are also deicha Shabbos. According to Rabbi Elazar, if the mile has to drive on Shabbos, that's okay. We cause the mile to go nuts. We tell the mile you can't drive on Shabbos, you can't fly on Shabbos. So we have these like 3-day Yom Tovim. So we make the mile spend 3 days of Pesach. He leaves his family. He spends both Sedarim in the middle of Nebraska in order to do a mila b'zman. But the guy is mamash. It's a Rosh Hashanah on Thursday and Friday. We tell the guy miss all of Yom Narayim and go spend Shabbos in Shabbos. Go spend Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Alaska in order to do a mila. What's the big deal of Kuntra Belazo? Let him enjoy, spend time with his family, and then he'll be Pesach. Shabbos morning is the bris. He'll get on a plane. He'll drive his car to the airport. He'll park his car, get on a plane, rent the car, and drive to Alaska. Kuntra Belazo, it's Shabbos. And we happen to fast like Rabbi Akiva that you're not allowed to do that. That's called Machshirin She'ef Shalasos Rabbi Yaim. Since in theory it wasn't so happy, his wife wasn't so thrilled about it, but he could have done Rabbi Yaim. Whatever Zef should Rabbi Yaim, we hold is not nichol in the sugya of Mila being Mutter and Shabbos. It's a major, major machlokes that they know. The Gemara has a fascinating story in the beginning of the last Mila. The Gemara says that the days of Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha was not yet nifsuch against him. Now it's nifsuch, it's chol Shabbos deraisa. But in the days of Rabbi Eliezer, his shita was not yet outvoted, and his town used to follow his practice. Not only did they follow his practice, but the Gemara says that once there was a gezeira that the Romans stopped the Mila, and his particular town, Rabbi Eliezer, somehow got off. Somehow the Roman, the police would never made it to his town. And Rabbi Eliezer's town, they continued doing Mila even though the rest of the Klai Yisrael had gezeiras against them. So Gemara says, because the Balabatim and Rabbi Eliezer's town were rewarded, because they used to go out of their way to do Mila on Shabbos, even though they were Machal Shabbos, they were chopping down wood, making axes, making coals, making knives. They did 1,000 malachas deraisa, because they were so machavis and bits of Mila. So they're rewarded greatly. So Rabbi Shafanstein writes in his Akadamatik with Moshe said they were rewarded greatly. We say the Chayv Skila. What they did was Mamash and Issel Gomor Skila. They were rewarded greatly. So Moshe says that's what we would say today. But in those days, it wasn't a nifsek against them. It wasn't Nimnu Vagom against Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's sheet was still viable in halacha. So close mind that your Rebbe passed on something and it's a viable sheet that hasn't been outvoted in the halacha, so then you're supposed to follow him and you get tremendous chayv. So all this balabatim. He was the Mardiasa. So he passed it. That was what the now you do that you be Machal Shabbos deraisa. But in those days, it was still it was the right thing to do. So Moshe writes, it's based on that story that he has the guts to write a gris Moshe. He says, I'm going to write a psak halacha. And when I say for a psak halacha, I'm going to come to the Kisya Kov, the Chamei Bes Mishonu. They're going to say that some of the psakim are wrong. So Moshe says, whatever they tell us, that's irrelevant. That's not the job of Poisek. The job of Poisek is to learn through the Gemaras, learn through the Rishonim, learn through the Shulchan Aruch, learn through the and figure out what the Emes Lamito is, Emes Yeradarko, whatever he honestly thinks the Emes is. If he's not a Yerei Shemayim and he's not honest, not intellectual honest, or he's not a Talmid Chacham, he doesn't know how to read Gemara and Rashi, he doesn't know how to open up Shulchan Aruch, so then he's not qualified to basket. But as long as he's a Higil Ora and he knows what he's doing, and he's trying his best, and he's being intellectually honest, and he has Yerei Shemayim, and he's davening to Moshe to help him, Shalom El Tomei 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 Tomei, Moshe says, that's all you have to do. And he says, if there'll be a Pesach, a Beis Nagol against you, then you have to retract. But Kozman, that there's no Nimnu V'Gomer against you, whatever Nimnu V'Gomer means. So Kozman, Yeshit is not Nidcham in Halacha, that is a perfectly valid sheet, and you're going to get rewarded. And William Balabat, you're going to be rewarded. Even though in the other Mammoths, they may find out that they won't Mechal Shabbos. No, Api didn't. That's not called Chul Shabbos, because they were following what you said. That's Ramesh's famous Agdomatik was Moshe. Anyway, back to the story. So the Gemara says in Rabbi Elazar Nemila that Rabbi Elazar had this Gevald Gechidish, that Machshirim Nitzvah Deich Shabbos, not just by Mila, not just by Korban Pesach. He had it by Matzah, and he had it by Sukkah, and he had it by Shofar, and everything. Whenever the Torah gives you a mitzvah to do on Shabbos, if for whatever reason you didn't bake the matzah before Shabbos, you could bake it Friday night also. You could build your sukkah on Shabbos also. All machshirei mitzvah deicha Shabbos. So Gemara says, wait a second. Gemara says, Rabbi Lez would say that all the time, every single Machshir Mitzvah is Necha Shabbos. He would say that by Tzitzis also. He says, no, Tzitzis is the exception to the rule. Why is Tzitzis the exception to the rule? So Gemara says, because Tzitzis, you can circumvent doing the mitzvah together because you could be Mafke the Beged, over your left gear, right? So since you could be Mafke the Beged, it's not called Ksuscha, so there's no mitzvah together. By Shofar, by Lulabakar, and Pesach, by Mila Lays Bird, I have to do the mitzvah. I Shabbos is standing in my way, the show must go on. But when it comes to tzitzis, I don't have to do mitzvah, just simply be mafkid the beggar. Well, the Gemara said by mezuzah, Rabbi Lazar wouldn't let you to write a mezuzah on Shabbos, hold the other hafkas abayas, it won't be a house, you're not going to be chayav in mezuzah. So it's clear from the Gemara that there's a din deraisa. The Gemara is putting on a level of deraisa, that making tzitzis is a malacha deraisa. So ask the people, God, why is making tzitzis a malacha deraisa? Name it malacha. What malacha is involved in making tzitzis? So says the people, God, the malacha must be kasha. I'm taking strings, I'm making knots, because the din is you have to make a keshri, you have to make a sharm when you tie it, it's got to be gedil. Gedil includes it has to be knots. So it says the people got it, for shetzkes, it has to be knots. Ooh, it's got to be knots. It's a malach of kosher. Oh, making tzitzit is for sure malach of derais and kosher. Says the people got them why. I could figure out a kunz to make my tzitzit on Shabbos and not violate kosher. Very simple. I'll make them on Shabbos, I'll have in mind. Hini muchav zog, I'm going to take them apart on Shabbos. That'll be my malach activity tonight. We're going to take the strings apart. So says the Prima Gadim, why does the Gemara say with such zam, with such taikif, such conviction, that making tzitzit on Shabbos is an outright malacha deraisa chayv skila for? What do you mean malacha deraisa? It's very easy to do it better. I'll do the ksharim and I'll have in mind. Don't do the ksharim. Zam fundo. What do you see from here? Says the Prima Gadim. You see from here that since the kesher of tzitzit is normally made forever, when you make a pair of tzitzit, chamish shugana takes a tzitzit apart the next day. I make tzitzit; they last for a long time. Says the Prima Gadim, since the darkash of Kach of a Keshel Tzitzis to be made forever and ever and ever, that by definition is considered to be a Keshel Shokoyama. Are you as a Gafra going to change that? That's not going to help. Your Kavan is not going to change anything. So the Bir Allah quotes this Prima Gadim, thinks it's a Gavaldik, Yishmach Araya, that the Malacha of Kosher is defined by the Chefs and not by the Gavra. So the Minchas Chinuch in the Sefer Mitzvah Shabbos, Minchas Chinuch and the Mishnah Berurah were contemporaries. The Mishnah Berurah writes in another place in Hilchos Kiddush and Sin Reish and Aleph, he writes a whole shtickle to her, and then he writes V'chakach Bo Yodi Sefer Chadash, a new beautiful sefer which was just published, Sefer Minchas Chinuch. The Mamash, they were writing at the same time. So the Sefer Minchas Chinuch, I don't think he quotes this Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Prima Gadim. He says he doesn't think the Prima Gadim is correct. He says the Raya from Tzitzis is not a Raya. Why? The Raya is not a Raya based on a Mordechai in the Sugya of Tefillin on Shabbos. What? Who? Where? Who? What are we talking about? So we're not going to have enough time to discuss the whole Raya. We'll start the Rosh Hashanah and then we'll branch out a little bit off the Mishnah next week because it touches on kosher and kayom, etc. So there's a very, very famous machlokes, 2 days in Tesis, about how to perform the mitzvah of tefillin every single day. Don't do Shabbos. How do you perform the mitzvah of tefillin every day? The Torah says, Ukshatim Yosedecha. What does that mean? So Rabbi Eliyahu had a view. Rabbi Eliyahu was one of the Balei Tesis, Rabbi Eliyahu Paris. So Rabbi Eliyahu said that this is what you have to do every morning. You have to come to shul every morning, and Ukshatim Yosedecha. You have to take a bias, take ritzuas, put ritzuas in, start tying knots, and making a knot on the shoyah. Shachatam, we say that, going to make a kesher every single day. So if shachar starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, so you can't come at 6, you got to come at 5:30, you can get a half hour. Not because you need time to say karbonis, you need time to tie your tefillin properly. So Rabbi Natan says, we've been wearing tefillin for many years. He's looking around, Clive, I never heard of such a thing. We don't do that. Maybe in Paris they do it. We don't do that, but we live in France. So who ties that tefillin? Who makes a kesher every day? So Rabbi Natan says, Ukshatam, we all say adecha means you have to tighten a pre-existing kesher. That's what it means. The kesher was made when you were bar mitzvah bet sefer 20 years ago. So you have, when you give that hand, you give that pole, then you're being, that's called the kshiras atfil. Famous machlokes of Benatam and Bilyo. Tosus in Maseches Menachos quotes a pshara. Tosus says that maybe Rabbi Eliyahu is right by Shoyad or Benatam is right by Shorosh. Maybe Rabbi Eliyahu said it both by Shoyad or Shorosh, or Benatam disagreed by both. Tosus maybe you can compromise. Why? Because it says, Ukshartam by Shad. About Rosh, it just says, they are the Tatavas Ben Eini, even though I wasn't kosher them. So maybe there's no Dinkshir on Sharosh. That's the best that us can come up with. But the bottom line is, it's pretty obvious. I don't have to explain this too much. The Minigo Elim has been like Rabbeinu Tam for the last 800 years, and probably before that also. Nobody does Rabbeinu Yom. So one of the riots that Rabbeinu Tam has against Rabbeinu Yom is from a Gemara at the end of Erevin. The Gemara says in Erevin, they're tying tefillin on Shabbos is a malacha deraisa of kosher. So, ask Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Eliyahu is right that you tie and untie your tefillin every day. Why is tying tefillin a malacha deraisa? It should be a what? It should be a classic what? Yerusha Fayama. Every 24 hours, the guy's taking on, off, on, off, on, off, tying his tefillin all the time. He said, what kind of shokayom is that? How could the Gemara say it's deraisa? The Gemara says to Feirish, if something is not kayom, it's not going to be deraisa. According to Ben Leo, no tefillin should ever be deraisa. It could, it's not just happened, it's not like the Prima God, it's not just happened to me. This is every single Kesher Shel Tefillin, according to Ben Leo, is never going to last more than 24 hours. It's going to be taken off from morning to morning.
Everything could last forever,
but Lamaisa, it's not going to. So hopefully, Mitzvah, next week, we have to pick up from how do you respond to that kasha of Rabbeinu Tam against Rabbeinu Yo, and that's going to set the stage for some important klolim in terms of the law of kosher and kayam. Okay, let's